Blog Talk Radio.
Harbor Corporation, easier global mobility for the pet lover and traveler on the go with the Car Ready. Visit them today at facebook.com/thecarready.
Well, thank you everybody for listening today with the Girl Show. We want to welcome you. You can catch us each Friday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com/thecarready. You can call Erico 619-924-0898. We're also on instagram.com/thecarready show. And we want to thank you for tuning in today. We are so excited and we're honored to have with us today Mr. Dana W. Harris, the CEO of Young Gurus Math Tutoring. Welcome to the show, Mr. Harris.
How you doing, Mr. McGurk? It's a pleasure to be speaking with you all today.
Same here. Likewise, it's indeed an honor to have you on the show. And it has been a long time coming, and we're so happy to have a wonderful CEO like yourself that's giving out tutoring in an area that everybody needs to know about, and that's math.
Yeah, I get
that.
You know, you get two different responses when a person asks me what I teach.
Mm-hmm.
When I tell them that I teach math, they either say, "Oh man, I hated math." They say they love math. There's not many people that have a response that's pretty much in the middle.
Exactly.
One of the few people that enjoy actually teaching math.
Mm-hmm. What kind of audience introduction to you, Mr. Dana Harris? What would you share to the listeners that would give us an inside introduction to you, the man, Mr. Dana W. Harris?
I don't have a great introduction. I would say I was a military kid, originally from Oakland, California. Oakland, California is home, and I like to tell people I'm from everywhere. I spent a great deal of time in North Carolina, and so North Carolina is home as well. Fayetteville, North Carolina, to be exact. The story is simple. I graduated from Fayetteville State University with a degree in mathematics, and I like to tell people I was conned into being a math major.
Mm-hmm.
I won't go into the long, drawn-out story, but I can remember after my first test in calculus class, Mr. Bobby Hoffer, he was a young African-American professor. He told me to stay after class after the first test.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "I have someone that wants to meet." So we went upstairs and he introduced me to Dr. Kenneth Jones, who was the acting department chair for mathematics and computer science at the time. So I spoke with Dr. Jones and he convinced me that day to decide on being a math major.
Mm.
Now, what was weird about that was I had no intentions of being a math major. Math was just my favorite subject in high school. I wanted to do something dealing with math, but I had no intentions of being a math major.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward, I graduated 4.5 years later, and people would ask me all the time, "Hey, so are you going to be a math teacher?" And I would tell them, "No way, they don't make enough money."
Mm-hmm.
And so not long after graduation, I was working as a credit counselor, and I don't even remember who it was. Somebody actually asked me. They came to me one day and they said, "Hey, this school, Terry Sanford, has a part-time math teaching position available. I think you should apply for it." So I thought about it. I had just had a son. My son, my son wasn't born yet, actually. But anyway, I decided to just go for it. So I applied for the job, and I got the job. And I loved it, so much so that I actually went and applied for another part-time position at another school, which was East Smith High School. So I was working at two schools, both on different sides of Fayetteville State University. And that was 13 years ago, and I'm still in the classroom now. And somewhere in that journey, I started my tutoring business. So that's pretty much the foundation of my journey into education.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. That is awesome. That is awesome because you're dealing with something that is very essential to our lives. Everybody needs to know how to add, how to do math, because you really can't. You know, we talk about people often say to me sometimes, you know, I can't function without my phone or my internet or this, that, up, but you really can't function if you can't read and write and you can't count. Because math is so, it's just that essential. A lot of people in today's society, they may value the internet and the phone, but when I listen to your story, it made me realize math is very important.
Yes, indeed. It's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Not more so the detailed, higher-level mathematics all the time.
Exactly.
But I believe there's some form of mathematics in every aspect of our lives.
That's right.
Even just when you think of time itself.
Yes.
Time deals with numbers, which is mathematics. So everything we do, no matter what profession you go into, you are going to have to deal with math.
Yes. So true. So from getting a paycheck to paying your bills to ordering food at a restaurant, what number to order, you got to know, have you got enough to cover the bill? You know, there's numbers on the gas tank. You know how many gallons, how much gas you're going to buy. You're right. It's so, it may not be something you get on, it's not the biggest, latest craze on a social media trend, but all our lives we've had to deal with math affected our lives, and I think that's so awesome that what you're doing.
Yes, sir. You said it. You know, everywhere we go, we're gonna have to deal with math. And it's funny because a lot of times over the years, you know, either in the classroom or working with tutoring clients, when people tell me that they hate math, particularly the young people, I always ask them. I say, "Well, do you like money?" And they say, "Yeah."
Mm-hmm.
So I say, focus a little bit and do what you got to do to learn this math.
That's true. That is so true. And in this day and time now, anything that deals with to learn is so precious because, believe it or not, there are people out here that are grown and can't count and they can't read. They can't even sign their name other than an X.
So true. And that's a sad reality. And with that being said, you know, oftentimes my students have asked me over the years, Mr. Harris, what's the most important subject in school, in your opinion? And most of them, they expect me to say math because I'm a passionate math teacher. However, I always tell them reading.
Mm-hmm.
And I always get these puzzled faces when I respond with reading. But I follow up with telling them, you know, if you can read, you can learn anything. And so I think that reading is even more important than mathematics because as much as I, you know, we all like to get that paycheck, we all like to make money, we like different things, but no matter how much you love money, if I write you a check for $1 million and you don't know how to read it, you may not understand how much money you're supposed to keep when you go cash that check.
Exactly. Kind of take us into the experience that you witness people get when they take your program.
Well, one of the initial interactions with potential clients is typically a frantic parent. when I do my consultations, it so often happens that most of the time is me listening to that parent, and most of the time it's the mothers. I've had some fathers reach out to me, but most of the time the fathers leave it up to the mother. So I'll listen to the mother, and she gives me her spiel about how her son or daughter is having trouble with their math class.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I usually do is I listen to the troubles, and then after I listen to them pour their heart out about the troubles, I go into letting them know that the first thing I'm going to do is give their child an assessment.
Mm-hmm.
So that assessment, the purpose of it is to see what are the gaps in the child. learning, because sometimes a student may do well at math for several years, and then they get to a certain grade level, which is usually around middle school, and they start struggling.
That's true.
And so I give that assessment to the student, and that assessment now tells me all of the different that the student has weaknesses in,
mm-hmm.
and then I go over the results of that assessment with the parent.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the parent doesn't always know the topics that I'm talking about, it makes them feel confident to know that I'm going to put together a program specifically for their child.
Mm-hmm.
So now after we go over the results of that assessment, the next thing I do is I inquire with them what is the frequency of sessions they would like for their child.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, they like, you know, 3 to 4 sessions per week. Others have as few as 1 session a week of tutoring sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the difference in those two types of parents, they want the 1 session compared to the 3 or 4 sessions, usually boils down to this. I get a lot of clients, and they come to me with the child that's struggling in mathematics, but many of those parents don't know whether they want someone to help their child with their homework along the way and to study for tests along the way as they're going through a math class, whatever grade level it may be. But then there's others that they want their child to either get caught up on information that they may have not fully understood over the years, or they want to get ahead. So the parents that usually want their child to get that extra help to get them caught up or to get them ahead, usually those parents come to me in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
But the other parents, a lot of times during the school year, you know, their biggest concern is that, hey, I understand that my son and my daughter has struggled with mathematics for a while, but I want you to help them at least get to this classroom. So it's kind of a toss up at times, but I always make sure that I bring that up to the parents. So that's the initial process.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, it's just a matter of having access to a computer with internet. And it doesn't even have to be a computer. I've seen students from their cell phones, from their iPads and tablets. As long as you have an electronic device that has internet access and a camera, then we can tutor. That's the beauty of the online tutoring, because I've tutored students on their vacation. I tutor students during their summer break. I tutor students while they're riding in the car to or from their sports practice. So it really makes for a great experience, because a lot of times they can be in the comfort of their home, or if they're traveling and doing whatever things that the family needs to do for the rest of their children. So that's one of the things that I kind of encourage parents to realize, that this is, my program is set up to be convenient.
Yeah.
You know, I want to find those parents that have multiple children.
Yes.
So, you know, I want that parent that has a young child that may be in taking a sport, and then they have another child that's involved in some other activity, and then they have this third child that's involved in different activities, because that's the beauty of the online tutoring. They can tend to the other children and the activities that they have to be involved in, and then the child that needs the tutoring can still get their help.
That's true. That is so true. Do you come across sometimes adults that end up needing to take your program or are attempting to sign up for your program?
Yes, sir. One of my probably most memorable adult clients was my godmother, and she was a business owner at the time, and she had an in-home daycare, and she was taking classes to advance her education for her in-home daycare. And I'll never forget, one day I was going to visit her, and she was frantic, just like most adults. And she said, you know, dang, it's been years. She said, it's been over 20 years since I've taken mathematics. And she said, do you think you could help me? I said, I know I could help. Mm-hmm. And we got her through the class, and we would sit down and do the lessons. And she, I think she was so surprised that I was as patient as I was with her.
Mm-hmm.
She got through the class. I'm not sure if she made an A or a B in the class, but to this day, she bragged about me to her clients and to the different parents. In fact, I've had a few clients over the years that were in her home daycare, and eventually they got older and came through my program. So adult clients, I enjoy working with them simply because the ones that really are taking it serious,
mm-hmm.
they get frustrated,
mm-hmm.
but when they realize that I'm going to be patient with them, it helps them out. And I think a lot of them are grateful because an adult or a non-traditional student, you now have the awareness to know, hey, my professor, when I go into the classroom, they're talking to us with PhD language, and we're all looking around at each other with crazy faces because we don't understand what he or she is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I try to make sure that I use common language when I speak, you know, that language of mathematics. So I'll give clients the technical terms,
mm-hmm.
but then I'll also give them simplified terms that they can use in everyday language. So I enjoy non-traditional students as well.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That is awesome. What was it that was that turning point that gave you that lightning rod bolt of energy to say, this is what I need to do? As far as
in regards to tutoring? I would say, so initially I started tutoring. I used to just help my classmates.
Mm-hmm.
Back when I was in high school. And then when I got into my career, I would say after about 3 years, I realized, hey, you know what, I'm not going anywhere for a while. Teaching is my calling. And so initially I would just help people because I needed extra money. A lot of people talk about, you know, teacher pay, and I won't get into all of those details, but at the time in the state of North Carolina, they did a freeze on the annual pay increase.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was a young father, and I needed to supplement my income. So I just started, I knew a lot of people in the area, and I just started kind of word of mouth telling people, hey, you know, I offer tutoring service, and I was tutoring in person. And the years went by, and people would tell others about what I could do. But I think what really got me fired up was I started tutoring part-time for a small company there in Fayetteville. You know, and at that time, I realized that I was an integral piece to that business because the owner didn't have anyone else on her staff that could actually tutor the higher level of mathematics in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just listening, and I started hearing how much people were paying for her program.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also had a couple of colleagues at the time that worked here with one of the major franchises. And I started to say, you know, I could actually make something out of this. This is really a service that's needed. And so my experience with talking to the people that worked with the franchises, you know, they would always tell me about how much parents were paying, but the students were rarely in one-on-one sessions for their tutoring sessions.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, I had to go through a period of time after leaving the company that I was working for. I asked for a raise because I realized I was being totally underpaid.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked for a raise, and I got the raise. And at the time it was cool, I still didn't understand my value. So I got the raise, and I think at the time, he went from paying me $8 and some change an hour to about $12 and some change an hour. And you know, as a young professional, I thought that was big. Whoa, you just gave me a $4 an hour raise?
Yes.
But when I heard how much people were paying per hour for the program, I realized that I was totally underpaid.
Wow.
So I had in my contract with that company, part of the contract was that I could not start my own company within a year or two. I think it was 2 years, within 2 years of leaving the company, which I totally understand doing business because they don't want you to try to go fishing for their clients, which that was the last thing on my mind. Really, I worked there because it was convenient. I could walk there from my apartment at the top.
Right.
So anyway,
right.
Fast forward, it was when I left there that I realized, hey, I've got this value.
Yes.
The area.
Yeah.
And I still hadn't realized that I had value for the world. So just as I began to fully immerse myself into being an educator, and I really started to embrace being an educator,
mm-hmm.
One day it hit me in 2010. I was going through some issues with attaining my certification for the state of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was released from my job.
Mm.
And I just couldn't believe it. I said, oh, my goodness, how did I end up here? So I was jobless, and I felt like, hey, with a law degree, what are you doing? It's jobless, like they're firing teachers. And it was in that moment, it was a low point in my life. I went through that year in 2010. I went through divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was at a very low point. And it was in that moment that I realized I had to get up and do something.
Yes.
And so one of the first things that I knew I could do to make money was, so I started, I went and ordered me some business cards. I got a free Vistaprint card. I think at the time you could get 250 business cards.
Oh, yes. I know about Vista.
Yeah, you just pay for the shipping. So it was in 2010 where I realized I had some value and I had to get up and make some money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I really started pushing it. And in that time, I think the aha moment for me was that my job and my dream were totally congruent. And what I mean by that, my job as a teacher in the classroom was totally the same thing as my dream of building my tutoring business.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat around in those months that I didn't have a job, and I realized, wow, not many people have the benefit of that type of connection with their job and their dream.
Mm.
And from then on, ever since 2010, I just ran with it. And here we are now, still going. And I think things have improved a whole lot since 2010.
Wow. It, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like something sparked a new energy after your divorce. It's like you got up and you grabbed life by the horns and said, look, this is going to be my moment. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like something clicked that made you realize, like you said, you got a greater value.
Yes, sir. Yes, indeed. So what clicked was two things. Number one, I had two sons.
That's right.
And so I knew that my sons needed me.
Yes.
I knew that I had to add some value to them because I never met my biological father. So this has always been my motivation. Whenever I'm kind of in those periods where we're kind of motivated.
Yes.
Or stuck.
Yes.
My sons, they spark that drive. And then the other thing was that my grandfather actually is the reason that I am passionate about math. I write down every day my why I do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather, one of the things that I write down with my why is that I do it for my grandfather, who was my first math teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the significance here of my grandparents' house in Oakland. Because in the backyard in the shed, there was a large chalkboard, and my grandfather, I watched him teach my two older brothers as well as my youngest uncle their constraints.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no going to be made years down the line to me not only loving mathematics, but now being the hopes of being one of the greatest math educators in the world. That's
right.
My vision. I want to be
right.
One of the most influential mathematicians or math educators in the world.
Yes, the best of the best.
Yes, sir.
I got it. I'm there. Look, I'm right there with you. You just spoke it into existence.
Yes, sir. And it's I say the world not for searching for fame.
Mm-hmm.
I see Pete famous, and unfortunately, I feel sorry for a lot of famous people.
Mm-hmm.
I like being able to go to Walmart or CVS to get me some medicine or to get something from me, so the fame part, I don't want that. But I say the world because there are people around the world that need mathematics. Mathematics is not something that's just, oh, we need it here in America.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People around the world need mathematics, and it's a beautiful thing because with the internet, I have people reach out to me on social media from around the world. I'm linked up with different tutors from around the world, and it's a wonderful thing to be a part of the solution.
Mm-hmm.
My company slogan is the solution to your math problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true. That's so true. And, I love how you brought up a very powerful point of, because most people love their ultimate dream is the fame and fortune. And I get it. I understand what you're saying. Because I have a colleague in Alabama the same way that you are. He said, I'm not into, you try to go in a grocery store and there's a whole slew of cameras clicking on every move you make and you don't have no privacy. You can't even go out to dinner without somebody hiding in the bush with a camera. And I get what you're saying because it's like that's the price of fame.
You're right. And we see all the time how it doesn't only affect the famous person. It affects their children.
Yes,
it affects their family.
Yes.
And things like that. It took me a while to realize this. I tell people that I've gone through some of my worst, I won't say worst, some of my roughest times in life. I've gone through them, and I had to endure them while going to teach kids every day.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a point that during that period of time that I lost my job, I was fortunate to get hired at a community college teaching adult high school.
Mm-hmm.
About 4 months later, maybe it wasn't anymore, 6 months. So I was like, okay, cool, I got another chance. And my goal was to actually get hired full time. And so at the time, the difference between a community college in North Carolina, it may be, it was kind of like an adjunct position. So I did full time work, but I didn't have a benefits package. And so I worked that job for almost 2 years, and it was a great experience. One of my students in particular, he's up in New Jersey now, and I still keep in contact with him, and that was back in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
But in that experience, I left that job to another position. My goal was to make $40,000 a year by the time I was 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And this position that I accepted, it was making much more than that. So I was so excited because, not just the pay, I was excited because of benefits tax.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the our director at the time at the community college, and I presented it to her. I said, ma'am, I have an offer for another position.
Mm-hmm.
And now I want to be here with you all because I enjoy teaching in the classroom, but I can't continue to work without a benefits package. I need the benefits for myself as well as for my children.
Yes.
And she said, Mr. Harris, unfortunately, I'm not able to offer that to you right now.
Mm.
And so then my heart dropped.
Wow.
And it's my heart dropped because I knew I was going to have to go face my students because I said I'm leaving.
Whoa,
and that's one of the hardest things that I have had to deal with. But
yes.
Fast forward, I went to work this other job, and it was I was an upper-level mathematics content specialist for a great company out of Durham, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked that job for about 6 months, and before I knew it, I felt, I wouldn't say empty, but I was confined to a cubicle, and I'm a people person. I like to interact with the people. I'm what they call the flamingo. So eventually, what happened was is I ended up leaving that job to go back to the classroom, and a lot of people said, "Wow, you're gonna take a pay cut." I took a pay cut of my pay was almost cut in half.
Mm-hmm.
And my son was part of the reason, but it was more importantly, I was committing 2 hours to that job every day. So I went back to the classroom, and instantly, although I took the pay cut, I found out that I was really, really passionate about it. So when I got back to the classroom, my colleagues at the time, they were saying, "Well, man, you took that much of a pay cut to come back here and deal with these kids?"
Mm.
I always taught in Title I school.
Mm.
And they were looking at me like I was crazy. And I said, "Ladies, listen." I said, "I've gone through some of my roughest times in life and had to be in the classroom."
Yes.
I said, "So that's why I'm glad to be back here." I said, "I know when I get out of that car in the morning,
mm-hmm.
I have to leave all my problems in the car. If they came out the house with me, I got to at least leave them in the car. I try to leave my problems at the house."
Mm-hmm.
Because when we come in here every day, these kids are counting on us.
That's right.
And they need us to be all that we can for them. So that's what I really learned, that the money will come.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we continue to be passionate and give our all to whatever it is that we're doing.
Exactly. And it sounds like, and you correct me if I'm wrong, when I listen to the choice that you made, those people that make those kind of choices, that's their mission. That's their calling. What you're doing now, it sounds like it was your calling.
Yes, sir.
You know, you answered a call that was. It's almost like it had to be pretty. Like I talk to people who do healthcare or people that they do jobs that are nurturing or they provide a service that, you know, it helps people in dire need. But then they realize I'm getting the pay that they're getting. It ain't. They're not driving a Bentley or a Jag or a Cadillac or a Benz. But they do it because they love it. They're passionate about it.
Yes, sir. We could go on and on about the cons of being a classroom teacher in the public school system, but I could go on and on about the pros of being a classroom teacher. So the list is much shorter. The list of pros is much shorter than the list of cons. However, when you answer that calling, you know it's greater than yourself. For me, I knew it was greater than me. I knew that as I went in there and gave my all to those students each and every day, and I'm still doing that to this day, I know that, you know, my residual income is when I get messages like a week and a half ago, I was on Facebook and one of my former students from Hope County High School, he posted a picture. He officially is working full-time for the fire department where he's at. And I sent him a message. I said, "I remember the day that you told me you were going to be doing this full-time," because he was a volunteer firefighter at the time when he was in my class.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were talking back and forth, and I said, you know, that's the stuff that you can't put a price on that.
You can't.
It's just the joy of knowing that my former students have accomplished their dreams.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that I know that I had a part in that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, it's just a great feeling. I've had students that have just had successful careers in the military. I had a student or two that have played professional football,
mm-hmm.
Those types of things. So it's
You sold that seed in that life.
You can't put a price on that.
No, you can't. It's priceless. You sold that seed in that life that left, that made a difference that they'll never forget. You know, it's like you left a legacy that'll transcend your life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And as I listen to your journey, it's almost like you were predestined for that. You have a gift of nurturing that it flows through your educating and your tutoring.
It does. It took me a while to realize that. I learned over time, the more that I learned about myself, that yes, that is one of the things that helps me out in teaching as well as tutoring. And like for the client, for the tutoring client, really one of the discoveries that I found that get for me is they just have that realization what they're capable of doing when they put their mind to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I was going through graduate school, I did some research on a professor out of Stanford, Dr. Jo Boulder, and she's from the UK, and I hope to soon meet her now that I'm much closer to her here in the Bay Area. But Dr. Jo Boulder, she does research on what they call mindset mathematics, and she partnered with, I can't think of the name right offhand, but she partnered with a very renowned, world-renowned psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
And the psychologist, she had a book that she wrote called Mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And in fact, I'm going to tell you because I'm looking at the book right here.
Okay.
Carol Dweck, Dr. Carol Dweck is a renowned psychologist, and she wrote a book called Mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And in this book, it just basically talks about going from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset. So Dr. Jo Boulder, she took that information and applied it to mathematics. And so I studied her work when I was in graduate school. I have applied that in my job, and I definitely apply that with my clients because the number one thing that causes people to struggle in mathematics is this idea that there are math people and not math people. So unfortunately, society has this idea that people are either born being good at math or they're born being terrible at math.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the biggest fallacies out there. Anybody can learn math. So that's probably the biggest benefit that my clients get when they work with me, as well as my students at the job. They realize, hey, if you go from having a fixed mindset to a growth mindset, you can learn mathematics, and you can excel in mathematics.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That is true. What's on your bucket list going forward now?
Wow. My bucket list, I would like to travel the world, making an impact in education.
Okay.
So, I don't have to be up there with the major mathematicians that have come up with these awesome theorems and things that are never going to die. That's a whole other subject in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be known when I leave. I want my legacy to be known that he made an impact in education.
Mm-hmm.
I like to say that when it's all said and done, I want people to know that when they came through either my tutoring program or they came through my classroom, that I was able to leave something, an impact on their life that's going to help them be able to overcome their obstacles in life.
Mm-hmm.
I tell my students all the time that you may not love mathematics the way I love mathematics when you finish this class, but when you finish working with me as a client, but I want you to be confident that you can do mathematics and be successful at it. So with that being said, for my bucket list, my desire is to be able to travel the world with my family and just enjoy making an impact in mathematics. So I can see myself, I have my YouTube channel and I do videos just on a board at the house, but I can see myself, making these same type of videos in Italy,
mm-hmm.
in Germany, and in different countries, just recording on site, doing more and more bad videos and speaking to, you know, teachers, speaking to students, just empowering people about what they can do with mathematics. And so, you know, ultimately, my thing is just to be able to provide academic solutions that's going to increase students of all ages' mathematical confidence as well as their mathematical competence.
That's so true. That is so true. How can people reach you and your program on social media?
On Facebook, my Facebook page is Young Gurus Math Tutoring. That's IOUNGGURUS Math Tutoring. That's my Facebook page. If you're on Instagram, Instagram.com/ YG Math Tutoring. So YG as in Young Gurus Math Tutoring. YouTube, most definitely. YouTube.com/C/ Young Gurus Math Tutoring. And each letter in Young Gurus Math Tutoring is capitalized. In fact, if you just go on YouTube and you search Young Gurus Math Tutoring, or if you Google Best Online Math Tutor, it should come up because all of my videos, or most of my videos, have in the title Best Online Math Tutor. So that's my YouTube, my Instagram, and my Facebook. Those are the best ways to get me. I also have a website, www.younggurusmathtutoring.com.
You just heard the wonderful interview with Mr. Bainey Harris, who is the CEO of Young Gurus Tutoring, and such a wonderful journey that he shared with the listeners today. You can catch us each Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on The McGirt Show at blogtalkradio.com/TheMcGirt. We had to re-air the segment with Mr. Harris on today because last week our corporate server had a power outage, and some of you may have tried to tune in and weren't able to get through. Because they had power outage that affected all of the entire segment on last Friday. So we had to air it today. That way that you could hear his wonderful story and the information about his business. We want to thank all of you for tuning in. Catch us each Friday back on our regular schedule, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. blogtalkradio.com/TheMcGirt, youtube.com/TheMcGirt, instagram.com/TheMcGirt Show, and facebook.com/BobbyDarrellMcGirt, and Twitter, BobbyDarrellMcGirt. Thank you and have a great day.